All right, we rolling?
Powered by
Boom. We're
Riverside
rolling.
FM.
Hey, well, I'll just go ahead and break the ice here. Welcome to the Gridiron Pulse. I'm Cole Aycock. I got my guy, my co-host, Jacob Walters here. And he'll introduce himself and kind of tell you a little bit more about what he's all about here in a minute. But I mean, at the end of the day, like it's just weird starting off like something new like this, building it from scratch, you know? Because at the end of the day, we have no idea how many, if any, people are going to hear this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean. But at the end of the day, you got to start somewhere, Jacob. And me and Jacob here, we started off as friends. And that friendship became a group chat. And in that group chat, something dawned on us. We sat there and we said, dude, you know what would be crazy? Like insane. What if we started a podcast? I mean, dude, what if we just took what we talk about on a daily basis and just turned it into podcast form?
Every friend group in America.
No, I mean, this is revolutionary stuff. I mean, no one is thinking about this, to be honest with you. Like, we are just cutting edge. I mean, because at the end of the day, Jacob, this is what the world needs more of. It needs more podcasters.
Needs more
Okay.
podcasters and more
More
friends talking.
podcasters. Yes, we need more podcasts in the world. You know, doctors, surgeons, you know, we need more guys that are in their mid-20s, stereotypical dudes who think that they know ball, talking about football. But in all seriousness, I am pretty excited to start this. I know I'm just speaking for myself. I know that we have been thinking about doing this for a while. So for me to start off, like I'm just going to introduce myself, say what, you know, my background is and stuff. Then I'm going to kick it over to Jacob and he's going to do the same. Like I said in the beginning, my name's Cole Aycock, 25 years old, and I grew up a massive Georgia football fan. Like that's where it all started, is Georgia football. I'm sure Jacob has a very, yep, exactly, a very similar story. That's where just the root of my sports fandom came from. And then it really just evolved into other stuff, you know, into baseball, basketball, and into the pro sports, and just kind of went from there. And then, you know, that eventually led me going to the University of Georgia. And then, you know, here we are today.
Here we
I'd kick it
are.
over to you, J kick it over to you, Jacob. You're probably tired of me talking all this much. I'm going to let you take it. So, Jacob, kind of introduce yourself and kind of what you're all about.
Jacob Walters, also 25 years old, born and raised in the Atlanta area. Some good, some bad, but mostly good for the Georgia sports part of things. Really been a diehard football fan from like first or second grade, I started playing football, and that just evolved into Georgia sports everything. And then, kind of on the back end, some Falcons, Braves, Hawks, all that unfortunate stuff right now, at least. But Georgia's been the root of my fandom for forever, and also graduated from the University of Georgia in May of 23 with my boy Cole here. We're actually neighbors for the last year. So, I mean, this podcast is about, we're about 2, 3 years in the running when we started talking about it, sitting there on the couch, just talking ball. Yeah, I played just about every position, played all the way through high school, through senior year, Forsyth Central, an unfortunate football program. Yeah, that's pretty much what I got for you. A little background, a little fandom. That's it.
No, yeah, exactly. And as you, me and Jacob, we've known each other for a good bit now. And I guess that that's kind of a good leeway into kind of laying the foundation for what this podcast is going to be about, kind of the vision we have for it, and really just kind of almost why you should choose us. Because there's so much content out there, and I feel like it's just a good way to lay that out, you know, because that's at least what I would like, especially with just a new podcast. I'm like, what can you give me that somebody else can't? Because I think that's important. So I'll at least start off with myself. When it comes to this podcast, I mean it is what it's called. It's Gridiron Pulse. It's everything football from the college world to the pro sports world. When it comes to the college space, obviously it's mostly going to be Georgia because I mean, if it's not obvious already, and Hey, FYI, I have Georgia bias. Okay, I'm coming out and I'm just saying, like,
Same.
my decision making, my ball knowledge, my everything that you could have, like, I have Georgia bias. You know, some media members in the national media could take notes from me because at the end of the day,
Right.
like, you're not fooling anybody. You're saying like you're this, that, and the other. Like, I'm just coming out and saying, like, yes, I look through a red and black colored glasses lenses. Okay, I'm gonna try my
As you
best.
should.
Yeah, exactly. You know, as you'll see, like, I'll kind of try to be, you know, because I feel like with me, there are two different areas. There's my delusional Georgia fan mood, and then there's my rational, just looking at the game for how it is. I
Right.
teeter on that line a good bit. I know you do too, Jacob.
Yeah.
I know you do too. And people will come to figure that out. Okay.
Yeah.
So at least for kind of like why us and kind of our vision for it. So, like I said, me and Jacob, we both went to the University of Georgia together. And while we were in Athens, I mean, we just built so we built a routine when it came to falls and Saturday. Jacob can attest to this.
Absolutely.
We had this apartment in Athens, Georgia, and there was this couch. Every Saturday, we would come, we would sit on this couch from 9 a.m. when college game day came on until 2 a.m. when the Pac-12 After Dark went out, which it's a shame that that's not going to be
Rip
the
the Pac-12 After Dark,
RIP the
man.
Pac-12, RIP the Pac-12. Important to say that. But,
Very.
and that full time, we would just talk ball for hours, hours and hours, and throw in some other stuff here and there. And we would just go with it. And that's what we want this podcast to feel like. We want it to feel like when you join this, like when you click on one of our videos or you look at one of our clips, we want it to feel like you're just walking into your buddy's house. You're sitting on his couch, his recliner, whatever he's got. You're getting some food, and you're just hanging out with the guys. You're just talking ball. And that's that at the end of the day, that's what we want it to be. And I feel like when it comes to the football world, like, we come with a bit of a unique perspective. At least for me, I'll talk about with the Georgia space. As Jacob said, we both grew up Georgia sports fans, and we've witnessed the bad. We witnessed the heartbreak, the feeling like it was never going to happen. And then we were there during the golden ages, roughly 2020 to 2023, where the back-to-back national titles and the SEC championship and all that, and we were ingrained in it. We were a part of it. Like, we felt it. And we were close to the program. And, you know, by no means am I saying we're insiders or anything like that. But I would argue that me and Jacob probably, you know people who know people who know people and, you know, privy to certain things here and there that the average person probably isn't. Again, if you're a diehard Georgia's fan, then, you know, I would imagine you probably have it too. But for the average person that's just wanting to come in here, learn about football, and just kind of ingrain themselves, that's kind of what I would say are the perspective we're coming out of.
Absolutely.
And then I can also just add on, you know, at least for the Georgia space, Jacob, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like there is a you have your Big J journalist realm, the Rusty Manziels, the Anthony Dashers, the all those guys. And then there's even, you know, some independent podcasters, you know, like your Ball Knowers, the Film Guy Network, you know, those who know. You know, he's, you know, smaller end, but still like a very prominent role in the. But there's kind of this space of just, you know, that college age to just out of college, mid-20s-esque, like, you know, age range where I just don't feel like there's that space, you know,
That
for like.
whole demographic there doesn't necessarily get a lot of representation, right?
Exactly. Like, at least in like the podcast and like just content space.
Yeah.
At least that's where we kind of figure we can like make our mark. You know, don't you kind of feel the same way, Jacob, or, you know, anything you
Yeah,
want to add on that front?
absolutely. I mean, just kind of bridging the gap, I mean, between like your regular fan and then some of those Big J journalists. I mean, we can be that little leeway in between and just kind of relay whatever information we know, giving credit where it's due, all that kind of stuff. Like Cole said, by no means are we insiders, but sometimes we like to think we are. Breaking news to the group chat and our families and stuff like that, at least keeping everyone that we know and love in tune with all things happening at Georgia. Not necessarily just football, but like, I mean, as of right now, baseball. Georgia baseball on a crazy, crazy run. But yeah, that's what we're looking to do here.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. And I'm glad you brought up Georgia baseball, Jacob, because I mean, I feel bad for those people, that are in quote unquote Braves country that,
Oh.
maybe have college teams that aren't very great, which I mean, in SEC is not very often because the best SEC is
No,
amazing
they're all pretty
baseball.
good.
Exactly. But the Braves still don't have a win.
I know. I kind of feel some sentiment to that, at least a little bit, because I mean, with the college baseball season starting so much earlier than the MLB, I was so excited for the Braves because like Georgia's going on this crazy run. And it's like now we get both Georgia baseball and the Braves. And then one of those fell off pretty quickly, and it's not Georgia baseball. The Braves have still yet to win a game as we're recording this. Hopefully it happens tomorrow. We gotta see a series upcoming with the division leading Miami Marlins. I don't know if I'll ever say that again, but at least for now, it holds true.
I mean, there's a sector of fans that are Atlanta fans and like also Georgia fans that believe wholeheartedly that in order for one to succeed, the others have to suffer. You
Oh,
know, like
yeah.
whenever Georgia wins on or loses on Saturday, they say, okay, then the Falcons are definitely going to win. Like it's got to make up for it.
Yep.
And I don't kind of associate myself in that group, but it is kind of coming true, at least when it comes to the baseball world, with Georgia baseball and the Braves baseball. But hey, long season, 162
It's a long season.
season, long season. And I can almost guarantee you, I mean, this is not a hot take. The Marlins are not winning the division. No.
Not our
Okay.
division, as
Not
stacked as it is.
no. So yeah. Georgia baseball on an absolute tear. And I mean, I'm glad that we have the intros out of the way and all that stuff, and that we could just get into the ball. And Jacob, we are a pro sports and a college sports kind of channel, I would say. And I
Yeah.
was thinking, like, what is the best, like, how do we come about this? Like, what do we talk about, in this first episode, just starting off? Well, I feel like if we just talk about a topic that almost brings those two together, and that's the NFL draft. The NFL draft is up and coming.
Very soon.
Yeah, exactly. I don't, what's the exact date again? Do you know the date off the top of your
It's
head?
late April. It's April 20 something to the first week in May.
Yeah, something
Don't quote
like
me on
that.
that.
So, whenever it is, it's coming up, and that means it's mock draft season. It's whatever team you're a fan of, you're looking at who you're going to get. And so,
24th through the 26th.
got you. Appreciate that. So Jacob, I'll kind of ask you here, which angle do you want to go at first? We can go at, the holistic, draft, national kind of view of just the draft itself, or we can go of more narrow view of, for the Georgia fans, what players are in the draft, what potential landing spots, which I want to hit both, but I was just wondering if
Yeah.
there was one or the other that you want to hit
I feel
first.
like since we're already on the Georgia topic, let's just stick with them. First rounders from Georgia, known to have quite a few, at least over the past couple of years. I'm thinking it's going to be Jalen Walker, Mykel Williams, and Malachi Starks. Probably three locks for the first round, maybe a fourth. Someone could take a flyer on Tate Ratledge or Jared Wilson, who are like early day two projected picks. I was thinking, like, what do we think would be like best team fits for each of those? Maybe we'll start with those three first round locks, is what we think. I mean, they're top 15, top 20 players.
Yeah, that's kind of the conversation that I'm, because at the end of the day, it's do we feel like, because I feel like Mykel Williams was, going in, he's the guy that's going to be, one of the first pass rushers taken. Like he
Right.
is like just that prototypical get after the quarterback pass rusher. But I mean, Jalen Walker, like, he came out of nowhere for some, of course,
Swiss Army knife.
Georgia fans, we knew what he could do. So again, I'm not going to claim to be like really plugged into the mock drafts, because I'm not, to be honest. But when it comes to those two, like the Jalen Walker and the Mike Hill, is there a consensus of which one of them are going to go first? Because I feel like it could be either way, to be honest.
I mean, I feel like if either of them had the chance to come out last year, it would have been Mikel's top five pick lock. He's dealt with some injury concerns, sat out a couple games, played hurt for most of last season. I wouldn't necessarily say his draft stock has taken a fall, but it kind of has. I mean, he's now projected in like the middle of the first round, and then Jalen Walker is someone who, I mean, exponentially his draft stock has risen. I mean, if he would have came out last year, if he was able to, he might not have been a first round pick. Now he's almost a consensus top 10 guy. So I got Daniel Jeremiah's mock draft pulled up right here. It's got Jalen Walker going five to the Jacksonville Jaguars, which is high. But I mean, taking a flyer on a player like that with the tremendous amount of upside that he has, you almost got to think they've got to put him at edge, right? But
Yeah,
then
I
if
mean,
it's to Jacksonville, I mean, they have Josh Allen and Trayvon Walker at both the edges. So I mean, are you gonna draft an off-ball linebacker top five like that? I don't know if that's necessarily my best fit for Jalen Walker, because I feel like he's a Swiss Army knife by every meaning of the word. Like, he could play four to five different positions at one time, it's seemingly on the football field. I mean, turn on the Texas tape, either game. I mean, he just ate their first round offensive linemen alive. But if you're going to draft someone that high, you probably have plans for an edge. What do you think?
surely Jacksonville, like they wouldn't seemingly reach for a Georgia defensive pass rusher, right?
That's never happened before, has
No.
it?
No, I mean, clearly not. But yeah, I mean, in all seriousness, like, I mean, probably, like, if you're picking somebody in the top five, you are seeing them as a, like, again, that valuable pass rushing, because at the end of the day, we all know, I mean, this isn't news to anybody. It's quarterback and it's pass rusher. Those are the two most valuable. And I'm pretty sure those are the two highest paid positions in the NFL, pretty sure. So you would think that, and that's almost, see, to me, like Jalen Walker, in a sense, going before Mykel Williams doesn't surprise me, but in a sense it does, because it's like, yes, the production itself is probably on Jalen Walker, because he led Georgia in sacks the 2 years in a row, right? Like the last 2 years, I'm pretty sure.
He did.
So it's just a matter of what do you value as a GM? Do you value just that pure, like Mykel Williams is like, if you built him in a lab to be a pass rusher, like this is the guy that's going to come out and you want to do. But he doesn't necessarily have like the big time production, which like that's a conversation with every Georgia defensive end that comes out. It's like,
All
why is
eyes
this Georgia
are on
defensive?
Walker.
He has like four sacks in like 2 years. Like, what are we doing here? And I will kind of leave the X, I will say the X's and O's. I will say Jacob definitely is like more ball knowledgeable than I am. I like that's kind of his expertise, I would say at least.
I'll take it. I mean, thank you.
Yes, take the compliment. All right. But when it comes to it, like Georgia, like we don't ask our edges to just full on like go after the QB, like, and correct me if I'm wrong, or like any verbiage or anything, but we are very much like run fits, kind of a more balanced approach when it comes to our D-line. That's why Georgia does not lead the country in sacks every year. Like you would
We
assume they are
also
with all these
rotate
guys.
in like 12 people every other play, it seems like. That's where we're talking about positional versatility with Jalen Walker. He led the team in sacks for the past 2 years while really only playing edge or a pass rusher on passing situations, second and long, third downs. I mean, he was a off-ball middle linebacker, like your classic Mike or Willie. just playing, I mean, 3 to 5 yards off the ball, and like you said, run fits, gap scheme, all that kind of stuff. I mean, that's what he was doing on first and second down more often than not. Then Kirby goes in and switches out our entire defensive line for our third and fourth down pass rush package. Then you find Jalen Walker on the edge, just wreaking havoc on whoever's poor left tackle that he's on for that particular game. But that's what kind of concerns me, at least with the fit with Jacksonville. I mean, is he gonna overtake Josh Allen at edge or Trayvon Walker, his former UGA counterpart at edge? They could use him as situationally like we did, but who knows if their defensive coordinator has the mind of Kirby Smart. I mean, he can turn on the film and see stuff like that and try to implement it, but it doesn't always work like that.
If I'm not, is Nielsen still their DC, Jacksonville? Or did he?
I think so. I mean, they took him from Atlanta last year.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I think you have some, history or feelings about.
Our defense wasn't terrible with him.
Yeah. Is he there?
Oh, yeah.
He
Ryan
still is?
Nielsen. Yep. I know he took a couple interviews this past offseason or this offseason, but he's still there.
I mean, and also this is a news flash to people, but I myself am not a Falcons fan. I'm actually a Steelers fan, and I'll get into why I am exactly at another time. But just know that like I grew up into it. My dad, Steelers fan, and I just adopted it from him. But to that point about the Falcons, I'm sure that Falcons fans, I don't know if Jimmy Lake is really doing it for you guys right now. I mean, you probably want the
No.
guy Nielsen back if you could, but
Yeah.
that kind of goes into the topic that I wanted to touch on was, are the Falcons finally going to pick, like, what pick do the Falcons have? Like, are they finally going to pick
Fifteen.
someone 15?
Fifteen.
So, like, are they finally going to pick someone from Georgia, or like, is it? I just don't know if there's anyone in that range really, or like what your guys' needs exactly are. You could probably speak to
Well,
that better than me.
yeah, it's definitely everything defensive related. Does that mean we're going to pick someone that plays defense? No, it does not. There's one thing I've learned to be a Falcons fan is tamper your expectations for just about everything, especially when it comes to drafting Georgia players, at least drafting them high. I mean, we drafted Justin Schaefer in the sixth round 2 years ago, I think, maybe last year. Don't think he made the initial 53 man. And we had our boy John Fitzpatrick. He's still on the team. But what we like to do is we like to let the great players from Georgia get drafted elsewhere and go play 10 or 15 years somewhere else and then re-sign them to Atlanta for 1 year, $5 million deals in the
Like
twilight
while they're,
of their career.
yeah, like while they're already past their prime. Yeah, I mean, that sounds, yeah, I mean, sounds pretty
Lorenzo
phenomenal.
Carter, Leonard Floyd, just a couple weeks ago signed a 1 year deal to come back to Atlanta. I mean, it's cool at least. I mean, it's not like he's ancient, but we were watching Leonard Floyd back in 2014 sack Zach Mettenberger in that
Oh.
LSU game.
I was just about to bring that one up when he was rocking 84.
84
Oh,
as an edge rusher.
I man, that he I remember watching him, like he seemed so skinny, like when he was at Georgia.
Slender, yes.
He's very slender. And I'm like, how does any like tackle reach this guy? And if I'm not mistaken, he went to the Bears, like 8th overall or something.
Yep.
Same as Roquan, I'm pretty sure, like exact same pick into the same team.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just, man, that LSU game, you just brought that LSU team. I don't feel like they had both Odell Beckham and they had
Jarvis
Jarvis
Landry.
Landry. Yep.
Yeah.
And did they, was that, was, did they have Jeremy Hill still, or was he already in the league by
I
then?
think so. That would make sense if they did around the same time period as Mettenberger too.
Yeah. I remember. If you remember this play, let me know. I remember watching that game, and it was a kickoff, and I'm pretty sure Odell Beckham literally one hand
He one
snagged
handed the kickoff out of the back of the end
a
zone. Yeah.
kickoff, and I was that was one of the more like
Just sitting there like,
inconsequential, impressive things I've ever seen, like on the football
and it
field.
was like he was out of bounds, like didn't even count, didn't even necessarily happen if it wasn't caught on video, but that was one of those where we're just like, what? Yeah, it was wild. What a great game though. Great ending.
Oh my gosh, yeah, that Justin Scott Wesley.
Justin Scott
Scott
Wesley, dude.
Wesley.
Called
Oh,
game.
hey, dude, he. I thought that he, like, after that game, dude, I thought that he was just gonna be it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, after that, you just, and then I don't remember too much. I mean, that season, 2013, that was the year. Was that Aaron Murray's final year where, like, he tore his, or, I'm trying to remember. Was that his last year where, like, it was like air, or was that when Todd
I
Gurley?
think he was there in 14 too.
Yeah, I can't really remember that. I know the year
Yeah.
before, obviously, that was when we went to the SEC championship against Alabama. And
Gonna have to
I
look
could just
at that
speak for
one.
myself, that 2012 SEC championship game, that was kind of my first like trial by fire, like welcome to be a Georgia fan. Because
Yep.
that's the first time I like truly remember watching a game and like truly being distraught afterwards and
Yeah.
sad. That's when I
Dude, I
actually
couldn't
like
even
first.
watch it.
What was that?
I couldn't even watch it, dude. I was at a church retreat at my old school, and we weren't supposed to have our phones or anything, but I was sitting in the back of the church, like refreshing on ESPN, like every single play. I was sitting next to my dad, who was like looking at my screen too, like, did we score? Did we score? And no, we didn't score.
I remember. So we had a trampoline outside at the time, and we had friends over, and that was the first time I had almost like a superstition of sorts. We were doing bad, and then I went out, jump on the trampoline a little bit, came back in, we had scored. So then, of course, my dad's like, "Cole, go back on the trampoline." I'm like, "Oh shoot, okay." I go back on the trampoline, jump around, and like we did it. Oh yeah, we're good. And then I'm watching it in the actual living room. When Arthur Lynch catches that ball over the middle, that I thought we won.
I did too.
That was when I knew we had won. Aaron Murray comes up, spike, spike, right, spike, spike, and then he slowly stopped the spike signal. Not to revisit this because I mean this is painful, but of
Yeah,
course Chris Conley did not get out of
yeah.
bounds. Didn't get out of bounds.
Chris Conley, surprisingly long NFL career.
He's still in the league. That's crazy.
Still kicking it with the Niners. Their eighth receiver on the depth chart.
Golly, man. Oh, dude, speaking of Georgia receivers. So I think this actually might be a time. So I know, Jacob, the people might not know this, but you actually have like an NFL Combine website that you built. And
That
like,
I do.
so if you
Yes.
wanted to, like, before you pull it up, I'm just gonna like make a little, if we want to do like a little predicting game here.
Yeah.
Besides Arian Smith, who do you think ran the fastest 40 out of the Georgia players at the combine?
I know there was a couple that were pretty close. I think Dom Lovett and ETN were within like a tenth of a second of each other in the low 4.4 range.
I mean, it's got to be one of those two. I'm gonna lock in my prediction. I'm gonna say ETN because
I think it was.
I feel like for Lovett, he's not. I could be completely wrong. I just don't. He doesn't feel like a burner to me. He feels like a slot guy.
Yeah.
But again, I don't know. So I'm gonna lock in ETN. I feel like this is a good exercise and a good way to kind of show what you got going here because
I
I
agree.
tested out a little bit before, so if you want to
Yeah.
screen
Right.
share, you can do that.
Sharing screen here.
Yeah, I had to exclude Arian Smith because I mean, that's just too
It's
obvious and one of
unfair.
the more frustrating Georgia players of all time, in my opinion. I'm sure we'll talk about
Yeah.
that here more, but and you could filter by college. This is cool.
Yeah, so this is my little website that we got going. It's NFL Combine Performance Dashboard, filter by position, filter by college, or just search up the names of players. for this. We'll go. Just like at Georgia, we don't need to. Nobody cares about them. We can just get everything here. So we have combine results. ETN and Dom Lovett. Look at them right at the top.
It's
Let's
love it. He ran a
see.
4.4.
Oh, yeah. Arian Smith,
Wow.
Dom Lovett, ETN right here.
See, that is surprising to me because
It
once again,
surprised me.
like Dom Lovett is not like maybe it's just the way our offense had, we didn't have him being like that burner role, but he
Yeah.
just struck me as a slot guy. Maybe because I mean we just I don't
That's all
know.
we played. Yeah, we never had
Yeah.
him really split out or anything like that. He didn't have any of those routes that your typical burner would run. Like Arian was obviously our guy to run go routes, deep posts, deep corners, deep overs, all that kind of stuff. And I mean, for the most part, he had his troubles with his hands, but I mean, there were flashes for sure. I'll never forget the play against Ohio State that ignited the comeback. I mean, dude put an NFL corner on skates and just sat him down and took it 65 yards to the house.
Yeah,
But yeah, 4-3-6 will do that.
this season like was probably the most I turned against Arian because like I
Yeah.
had held on to that. You know, I was in attendance actually. I
You were
was near
there.
that Georgia Ohio State game when I
Yeah.
saw that just everything go down and like I just got so frustrated with him. But at the end of the day, like I still just forever be like, all right, you know what? That Ohio State play in itself that sparked the comeback, like he did his part for me to like have my
Yeah.
grace going forward. And I'm
Okay, that
telling
was
you.
enough for an entire Georgia career. Like, dude basically won us a national championship game. I know you feel the
Exactly.
same way, but that year, that game, that was the national championship game.
We're sitting here talking about Justin Scott Wesley about making a catch in a regular season game against LSU. If that's enough
Yep.
for us to like have good grace with him, then it's dang sure enough for Arian Smith who caught won in a Peach Bowl game against Ohio
Oh,
State.
yeah.
You
College football
know?
semifinal stage couldn't have been bigger, and he showed out for sure. Was that the only catch he had in that game? It probably was. I wouldn't be surprised.
Would
That was
not be shocked.
a big Kenny McIntosh game.
Oh my gosh. That game was so frustrating with Kenny McIntosh when he freaking tripped
Oh my gosh.
on that cutback.
Yeah. Was it a slip screen or something?
Yeah,
I
it
think
was.
it
It was like one.
was
I
a
feel like it was a
pass.
tunnel screen or something,
Yeah,
and
tunnel
like
screen.
he.
Yep.
Yeah, I was definitely frustrated
I
that
mean, dude, just parted the Red Sea and the turf monster just gotcha.
Gosh, dude.
I think we ended up scoring on that drive, so it was okay. But
Yeah, we
yeah,
did.
that was.
Stetson had like a quarterback power on the left side.
Yeah. What a game, though.
Oh
I
my
can't believe you
gosh.
were there, dude. That's awesome.
Oh yeah, dude. I mean, I told you this, but my parents got me those tickets basically as a Christmas present. They got me, it was like a present. I opened it up and there was like nothing in it. So I was like, well, that's weird. It was a piece of paper and it was just saying you're going to the Peach Bowl.
Best kinds of presents
That
sometimes are
was,
nothing.
yeah. And then I went to the Sugar Bowl this past season. You know, that wasn't nearly as cool and fun.
Yeah.
If
I was about to bring that up. Speaking of games that you've been to, how was that one?
You see, it wasn't fun for a lot of reasons. Because obviously, if the people remember, there's the whole terrorist attack on that
Yeah.
the day of, or
It
was it
was the
the
day
day?
of. It got
Yeah, it was the
postponed.
day of. Yeah, it was the day of.
That
And
morning.
you know, I obviously had work the next day and I didn't know what I was gonna do. Like we were pretty much like, well, we're gonna have to go home, you know, but you know, we had ended up working some stuff out, we ended up staying and I think the morning that happened, where you know we still went out and we were you know walking around the New Orleans and stuff, we actually saw the Georgia team like walk like cross a street almost that
Yeah.
we were on. So I mean that, and then it was probably like 30 minutes later when the game
Did
was
y'all
called.
stay in the like inn or at least close to the team hotel?
I don't really remember how close it was to the team
I've never
hotel.
been to New Orleans, but I can't imagine like the downtown area is huge. Right.
All I remember is that it was, like, in terms of the location, it was like literally if you took a left out of the hotel and you walked, maybe like a mile or maybe half a mile, honestly, that's like where the scene happened. It was insane. And I actually have a pretty funny story. So obviously what happened was not funny, but so me, my dad, and my brother, we were coming back because that night, of course, New Orleans, we just wanted to see what Bourbon Street was about. We're coming back because I'm tired, I'm done for. We're coming back, and my dad's like, "We need to go into that Crystals." I'm like, "Dad, I don't want to go to Crystals. Like, I'm tired, I'm trying to get home." So we go back. We get to the hotel room, lay down. I go into the bathroom, come out of the bathroom. My dad's not there anymore. I'm like, I go to my brother. I'm like, where's dad? He's like, I don't know. And we're like checking him on the, like, Find My Friends, Life 360, whatever. And we're showing that he's walking towards the dang crystals. And my brother was like, I'm going to like get him. I'm like, why are you going to get him? He's going to be right back. I was tired. I was zonked. I went to bed. Cade goes to get him, comes back. My dad, he comes in the room, biggest smile on his face, and he has a 12 pack of crystals. 12 pack of crystals. And my mom ends up waking up because she's been asleep this whole time. And, my mom's like, did you not get the fries? It's like, the fries? Like, I just got a 12 pack of crystals. And it was that whole situation. But then, of course, the very next morning, we're told that the terrorist attack happened. And we're doing the math and we're thinking, Dad, that crystals that you just purchased is probably the closest a crystal steamer pack has been purchased near a terrorist attack in history. And like I told him to keep the receipt because that thing is, it was crazy because literally,
Is
like,
it
if
around
those
the same
two,
time as it happened?
no, it was way like I think my dad got that at like 11 at night.
Oh, yeah.
That
It was
attack
at
ended up
like
happening at
3
like
or 4 o'clock in the
3 a.m.
morning.
Yeah, but like when the camera crew was there, like it showed like there was a reporter doing a report watching the TV. You could literally see the crystals in the background of like
Oh, my
their
God.
report because of where like the attack happened.
Yeah, that's
So
crazy.
no, yeah, that and then of course the next day we go to the game and what happens happens.
More bad memories.
No,
We don't
terrible,
have to
terrible.
relive. We don't have to relive those bad memories.
No, we don't.
I did have a
So
couple questions I want to ask you since you're a Steelers fan. Give me a little
yeah.
different perspective on what you're thinking for the first round of the draft. What do y'all pick? 20? 21? Y'all pick 21. Are we going quarterback? We're gonna sign Aaron Rodgers. What's gonna happen here?
I mean, I think at the end of the day, it just hinges on what Aaron Rodgers does because, I mean, you would think that he, all the reports are like it's, Steelers like are heavily favored in it.
Him or
And
Viking, or them or Vikings.
yeah, which can we just say how crazy, like, okay, Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre start with the Packers. They go to the Jets for a little bit, and then they go to the Vikings. I just had to bring that
That'll
up because
be
I think that
weird.
that's insanity. But in my perfect world, like this is what I want. I want to sign Aaron Rodgers because, I mean, at the end of the day, he's still Aaron Rodgers. And whether
I'd want to
he's
sign Aaron Rodgers too, yeah.
exactly. And like whether he is, like, I don't, he could be 60, 70% of what he has been over the course of his career. And that would still be better than any quarterback we've had since Big Ben by a long shot.
Yeah,
So that's
I
first and
agree.
foremost. I signed him to a 1 year deal. And I want to draft Jackson Dart. I want Jackson Dart. I've grown to like him more this season. I was kind of skeptical of him going into last season, but like the more that I look at him and like his like the makeup and like body, play type, all that. I mean, I saw an interesting comparison for him. Somebody compared him to Jalen Hurts.
I saw that too.
You don't really think about Jackson Dart as a Jalen Hurts type, but if Jackson Dart is like sneaky, like he's like 225.
Thick boy.
Exactly. You look at him and you don't really see him as that, but I mean, he's like what, 6'3", 6'4", 225, and
Yeah, he runs like Jalen.
exactly. And that does scare me though, because I need him to start sliding a little bit more, because at Ole Miss he would just lower that shoulder with no
He takes some
intention.
hits. Yeah. You're not going to be able to do that in the league.
Exactly. So that's what I want. I want Jackson Dart to sit, learn behind Aaron Rodgers for a year. We send Aaron Rodgers into the sunset, give him a 1 year deal, let Jackson Dart take over for the time being. At least that's what I want. Now, again, the last time we picked a quarterback in the 20s range didn't work out, but I would argue that.
You're talking about Cleveland Browns starting quarterback Kenny Pickett on his
Yeah.
third team in what, 4 years? He's your 2021 pick, I think.
Yeah. I mean, Kenny Pickett really just, he fooled everyone with that fake slide. Literally and
Yeah.
figuratively. He fooled
Including the
everybody.
defense, yeah.
I saw that and I was like, holy crap, like this guy, he's got it. Like he, now again, going into it, I said this, I'm sure Jacob can attest to this. I don't know if he remembers. I said, listen, we're not drafting Kenny Pickett to be this like star super quarterback. I said, Kenny Pickett, his ceiling, like what I think the best possibly he can be is Kirk Cousins, but like a little bit more mobile. And I'm like, I would take that. And clearly, some could argue that, Matt Canada, the offense, not really to his skill set. I would argue it's probably a little bit of both. I don't think Kenny Pickett's that good, and I just don't think the offense was very good either. But I would argue that Jackson Dart is like way better than Kenny Pickett was.
Yeah, I'd agree.
And that's kind of what
One
I
thing I
want.
will say about this quarterbacks class as a whole, I don't really like any of them. I mean, they can definitely turn out to be good players when put in the right situations for sure, but there's not a Jaden Daniels, a Caleb Williams, or even a Drake May in this year's class. What do you think?
See, I am glad you brought this up, because this was a topic that I wanted to hit on. And I don't know
Yeah.
if you know this, and I don't know if I've told you this, but I do like Cam Ward.
Yeah.
I like him as a player, and I genuinely do think he should be the number one pick.
The nonchalant king.
See, yes, exactly. And I'm glad that we have this now, because now I can chronicle my takes and be like, no, bring up the video. I said this
Pull
take.
the receipts. Give me the
Exactly,
receipts.
because what I'm about to say is going to sound like, oh, of course, dude, of course you like said that, in hindsight. But trust me here when I tell you this. Whenever Cam Ward transferred from Incarnate Word to Wazoo, when the Pac-12 was still a thing, I was, tuning into some of those games, watching some highlights. I liked him then. I thought he was a baller, and I was like, this guy, he's going to be a pro player one day.
Yeah.
Like, he did the exact same stuff that he did at Miami. Say what you want about the nonchalant and like sidearm crap, but at the end of the day, like, that shows me at least the guy's heart rate is literally just even the entire
Yeah.
game, no matter the situation, no matter anything, and he's confident to just rip it. I mean, say what you want about Florida, which I mean, obviously you and me, Jacob, we know Florida ain't good. Like, we know that they're not. But going into the swamp for your first ever career start, like at least for Miami, not your first career
Yeah.
start, and doing what he did, it's like when it all started going viral, him like barely jogging out of bounds and him like, drifting one sidearm, this, that, and the other. That's what went viral, and that's like what the headline said. But what I saw, like there were several throws in that game where I was like, holy crap, like this guy can play. And obviously, Miami didn't, they almost had some Chiefs in them, that they had the
Yeah.
luck on their side at the
Yeah, they
beginning of the
did.
season. Because I
Should
remember
have
watching
lost
that
two
Cal
more
game.
games. Cal and Virginia Tech, dude.
Exactly.
Virginia Tech, that's a loss right there. That was not a catch. That was an interception in the end zone, but continue.
No, yeah, exactly. And all that stuff aside, I just genuinely think, like, I've had that feeling about him for a while now. And again, it's going to be easy for me to say that now in hindsight, but I'm asking you guys to trust me. And I just think that he has a skill set and just an overall, like, I don't want to say aura, because like that's just kind of like, but he does. He has an aura about him that like I want for my team. You know what I mean? And I think the Titans, I mean, because obviously you draft Will Levis.
Yeah, I think that ship has probably sailed.
Yeah, I would say so. And then,
I mean, they're
yeah.
pretty much locked in to Cam Ward, I feel like. He is 101. You can go ahead and write that down. I'm not saying I dislike Cam Ward by any means, but at least compared to some quarterbacks in the past, quarterback classes in the past, maybe not the Kenny Pickett, Desmond Ridder year. I mean, if you compare it to last year, Cam Ward's probably quarterback four. Would you take him over May Daniels or Caleb Williams? I mean, he's not your
Probably
prototypical
not.
either.
Probably
He's
not.
short, stocky, and not necessarily, I mean, he's not a burner by any means with
He didn't do
his
anything at the
legs.
combine, did he? I imagine he didn't.
No, they didn't do anything in the combine, but I got measurements and stuff.
Yeah, I because if
He's
I had
not
to guess on his
huge.
measurements, he probably is like he's probably like 6'1", maybe like 210, 215.
6'1" and a half, 219. Yep.
And listen, like that'll play, okay? I get
Yeah.
that's not, your prototypical height, but obviously there have been many QBs to show that you don't need to be the 6'5" prototypical. And
He's built like Baker Mayfield.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
Which I
boy.
mean, again, it's gonna sound like, of course, but like I stuck with them even through the
Yeah, you
Browns
did.
crap. And like, you know what I mean? And of course, look what he's done with Tampa.
Oh, yeah.
Like it. If Cam
You've
Ward
converted
took
me into the Baker Mayfield fandom, and
exactly.
they're kind of a division rival for us now. If we're ever towards the top of the division, I mean, it's going to be Buccaneers and everyone else because they're really the only formidable team, I guess. I mean, Derek Carr and the Saints and Bryce Young and the Panthers. I mean, they're still both teams have a lot of work to do. I definitely say the Falcons have the second best roster in that division, but I mean, that's nothing to write home about. I mean, that's not saying too much.
Yeah, well, what's the equivalent of saying you have the second best roster in the AFC South? Like, I don't know. I was trying to think of something, but yeah, obviously, AFC or not AFC, NFC
NFC
South, not
South, yeah.
AFC, NFC South. Yeah, and I mean, back to the Cam Ward thing. Like, if he turns out to be Baker Mayfield, then I guarantee you the Titans would be like, sign us up for that. If you can
Yep.
end up being like that. Obviously more of like the healthy version of them, like on Tampa
Yeah.
and like early on the Browns, they would take that. And then at the end of the day, you just have to now, I mean, this is the case with every team. You got to surround them, that you got to load up on, the receivers and the offensive linemen in the later rounds. And so actually on this topic, coming into this, I watched a YouTube video and I'm gonna give the guy credit. Like maybe at the end of this, we'll like link it or something. But I can't remember the guy's name exactly. But he does great videos, and he basically did a almost. He looked at the history of the NFL draft, and he almost like took a scientific, like analytical approach of being like, what are the true value of like certain picks, like the number one pick compared to the 33rd pick, and like if you're the first receiver taken versus the second receiver, like how that works. And he found. Now, again, I don't know exactly how I found this, but you can watch the video. I'll link it. It was, he essentially did a study where, like, to compare, okay, over the course of the history of the NFL draft, if you're like the first receiver taken and the second receiver taken, how much on average is that player going to be better than, like, the player that was picked before you? So, like, say you're the 33rd pick and then, like, maybe 50th, the second receiver is taken. The study showed that. It's only about a 52% chance that that player is actually going to end up being the better player, which that was kind of shocking to me. And there was also, he also said that teams value the number one overall pick five times more than they value the 33rd pick. So that's essentially telling you like a team would trade 5 second round 33rd overall picks just for the number one pick. I mean, in some cases, yes, but it kind of seems like a lot. And I feel like
Yeah.
there are some teams that just say, you know, we don't care about picks, you know, a la the Rams when they went on their Super Bowl run and they
Yeah.
reaped the benefits, you
They
know?
sold out.
Yeah, no, they did. And, you know, they're obviously gonna probably suffer for it. I don't, they almost had the Eagles though.
I
That was a fluke.
know. I
But
know. I was watching something with Matthew Stafford last night, and he talked about that game. They were like, "What, dude? It was a break 50 with Bryson DeChambeau and Matt Stafford."
I
He
saw a
said,
TikTok about.
"Yeah, he was like, what if there was one play that you could take back?" And he was like, "Well, I mean, recently, how the game ended against the Eagles would be one that he takes back when Jalen Carter just." Basically comes through untouched and ends the Rams season, sacking Matthew Stafford. I mean, I think they had goal to go, or they were on like the 12-yard line or something like that to win that game and go to the NFC Championship game against the Commanders, I believe.
Yeah,
But yeah,
Commanders.
if there was one play that Stafford would have back, he would do that. He said he messed up something with the protection or something like that. But yeah, I mean, that's a tough one to have back. And that's another just outstanding young player from Georgia, dude. Jalen Hall. Just a beast.
Oh man,
The game
no,
wrecker
for
at the D tackle position.
and I mean he. Like that was his second year, I believe it was his
Yeah.
second year in the league. I mean, he's going to be there for forever, you know. And like
Yep.
that comes down to again, like some people, their thoughts on positional value,
Yeah,
where
like what do you
a D
value?
tackle is, you know, historically not very a huge valued position.
Yeah,
I
well,
would
it's not
like.
like your top five highest paid positions, but if you got someone like that, like, I mean, he's like, I mean, probably the closest thing we've seen to Aaron Donald since Aaron Donald retired. I mean,
Oh,
he should have
exactly.
won Defensive Rookie of the Year. Wait, did he? I don't know.
No,
He
I
didn't.
think, oh, no, it was Will Anderson.
Oh, yeah,
Because
that's right. He definitely
literally,
should
Jalen
have
Carter was the
won.
betting favorite to be defense rookie there every single week except for the very last one. And then
Yep.
Will Anderson ended up winning it.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, Jordan Davis in that same boat right there. I mean, different kind of defensive tackle, but still. I mean, the Eagles talk about who they value. They might not put positional value, they put school value. They value Georgia Bulldogs.
That's what I'm telling you, dude. And that's why, you know, we're very convinced that Dan Jackson is going to find his way
Oh.
on the Eagles in some form or fashion. It's going to be Cooper DeJean, Dan Jackson, and Reed Blankenship. It's
Dude.
Reed. Is it Reed Blankenship?
Yeah, Reed
Yeah.
Blankenship.
In the same secondary.
The no fly zone of white defensive backs.
I mean, dude, I mean, what? There has to be another white Iowa corner somewhere, right? I mean, I feel like I look up
Broncos have Riley Moss.
that. Yeah, see that was the
He
other
was a
one. Yeah.
second
I,
round pick. He's pretty good. I think he was a rookie last year or 2 years ago. He's only in his second or third upcoming year. But yeah, him and Pat Surtain is a great combo as well.
yeah.
I mean, I think he doesn't have any type of safety designation. Like he's a true boundary corner.
Yeah.
But with the Eagles having both Reed Blankenship and if they could get Dan Jackson, I mean, it's not if they can because they can't, because he'll probably be a late round pick if he gets picked at all.
If they want him.
He should. I mean, we had 32 NFL representatives at Georgia's Pro Day, and he ran a 4.4 at 215 pounds, and he put up like 25 reps on the bench or something like that. That was another topic I wanted to dive into, was those Georgia draft sleepers who maybe didn't get a combine invite, like him and
Yeah.
Chaz Chambliss. I mean, Chaz Chambliss probably won't get drafted, but he'll sign as an unrestricted free agent somewhere and just wreak hell on practice squad.
He was another guy where like a bunch of Georgia fans like grew to not like him because when you watch the game,
Unwarranted hate.
I
Yeah.
even found myself victim to this. You'd see Chaz Chambliss and he would just run to a pulling guard and just hit him and seemingly like ignore the ball carrier.
Yep.
And to the average person, you're like, what the hell are you doing? Like,
Yeah.
go get the ball. But again, like, you know, listening to certain people talk about, you know, the ins and outs of like the scheme, some say that like that's actually like he's doing his job.
It's a
Like his
Saturday
whole
football.
role is to fill.
You better believe if he rammed headfirst into a pulling guard, Kirby said, "Chaz, if you don't ram headfirst into a pulling guard, I'm gonna run you till you puke."
Yeah, exactly. And like he seemed like always just on the edge and like crashed inward like
Yeah.
at times, and you were just like, again, it comes down to like the casual fan, and you're just like,
Yeah.
what the heck are you doing? And that's where we want to come in here and almost bridge that gap, because I'm going to tell you, like, there are times where I fall victim to this. I fall victim of
Same.
casualty, of being a casual casualty. That
Very
it's not
much
what
so. I know I went
you
on a, I'm sure I went on a couple tirades back home sitting at the couch of
want.
why isn't Chaz Chambliss getting sacks? Like, where's the production? Like, what's he doing? But then, I mean, if you break it down and you actually look at number 32 in red, like, he's doing his job just about every single play. I mean, everyone has missed assignments and busts and whatnot, but not too many. I mean, it's not like he played bad. He just didn't necessarily get 20 sacks in 4 years.
It goes back again to like the very beginning of this podcast. We talked about the Georgia players that don't necessarily have the production that you would assume given
Yep.
like their five-star status and like how like highly regarded they are among the pros, because at the end of the day, pros are not looking at how many sacks you get. You know,
Yeah.
at least the good ones aren't. The good ones aren't just like strictly being like, all right, how many sacks do you get? They're looking at your measurables, like how, like your projectability first and foremost, and just, you know, of course, film,
I
because
mean, you've got to
stats can
think.
lie, but film doesn't.
Yeah. I mean, and you got to think like these scouts and everything, they talk to coaches and they break down the films of the players that they want to draft with the coaches. So you're like, "Coach, what's his assignment on this play?" It's like, "Oh, he did exactly what he was supposed to do." Or, "No, he wasn't supposed to do that. That's a busted assignment." It's like you if you're like an NFL scout, like you get the insider info that us casual, regular people, fans don't necessarily get. So, I mean, that's probably why I think at least one of the main reasons why Georgia gets so many players drafted and usually pretty high. I mean, because if you're breaking down film with a defensive assistant at Georgia, I mean, if it looks like a player's maybe not getting the production that they necessarily should be getting, I bet you they're in the meetings going like, "This guy's playing assignment football down to down. He's doing his job, and he did his job here, and just this other guy on this side had a bust or missed an assignment, and that's why it was a bad play," or something like that.
No, yeah, for sure. I Jacob, I'm gonna be honest, I think this has gone very well.
I do too.
No, yeah, for sure. And I hate to kind of abruptly end it here, but you know, there are some matters I need to attend to. But episode one, I would say this is a big success.
Would agree.
I would, yeah. So for this, Jacob, you're probably more into because you have all the back end stuff. Like this is going up on all the Spotify's, the Apples. We'll post it on
Yes.
YouTube,
So I
all that
haven't been
stuff.
able to integrate Spotify yet, but it'll be on Apple Podcasts and then YouTube as well. So make sure to like, comment, subscribe on the YouTube channel, rate and review on Apple Podcasts if you know how to do that, because I mean, I don't, but there's a section
Somebody
for
does, and it and you
somebody
ask
does.
somebody that knows how to, and you tell them to do it.
Absolutely. Tell your friends, tell everyone, leave a comment, new show topics, what we should talk about next. I mean, I got a couple on the back burner for sure that we'll get to, but yeah, man, it's been great. I'm glad we finally ripped off the band-aid and just did it.
No, yeah, for sure. And like I said, it's gonna be a little weird at first, but yeah, at the very beginning. But like I said, at the end of the day, it's just we're just talking ball. And that's just all we
Absolutely.
want to do. And then once, you know, we get this community involved, if, you know, it comes to that, then that'll be even better. So, like I said, yeah,
Absolutely.
they all be good.
Been a
Yeah, we can go
pleasure.
ahead. Yeah, for sure. Sign off. And, you know, we don't have an exact schedule yet, but we'll figure that out. But,
We'll figure it out. I'll let you
yeah.
guys know in the next episode.
All
See
right.
ya.
Sweet. Yep.